It's 2:36 on KDKA on Good Friday, the day that Christians observe the crucifixion of Christ leading up to Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday, Christmas, those are times that oftentimes churches say they will see huge swells of people there, but those people may only come a couple times a year. Some people even call them Christers. You see them at Christmas and Easter. But the rest of the time, you may not. Have we seen a precipitous decline when it comes to church attendance and whether or not people are looking at religion as being important to them? We're going to talk to Dr. Patrick Hurley about that. He is not only a professor, but also an author and has written a book called Religion, Power, and Illusion. Dr. Hurley, it's great to have you on KDKA. How are you?
I'm good, Rick, and thanks a lot for having me on.
You not only are a PhD, but you also went to law school and you have your JD. So what was it about religion that was of interest to you when it comes to being in academic research?
Well, ever since I've been a kid, I've been interested in religion. And I've taught philosophy at University of San Diego for 35 years. And one of the subjects that philosophy looks at is religion. There's a course in philosophy of religion. It's very common. So that's basically what it was.
Are you seeing the decline? And I don't think that there's much debate about the fact that the attendance has certainly gone down. You take a look at what it was in the 50s, it's gone down precipitously. You've even seen a decline from what we saw in the 90s or even 10, 15 years ago. Is that because of theology, that people don't necessarily believe what the church is saying? Or is there another or other underlying reasons?
Well, I think there's at least two ways of looking at that statistic. I think it's true that the number of people going to church is fewer today than it was before. But if you look at the power of religion on government, it's just maybe the opposite. It may be higher than it's ever been. I mean, look at Congress. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is very religious. Everybody knows that. The Supreme Court has 6 conservative Catholics on it. And that was largely responsible, I think, for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Mm. And now Donald Trump is selling Bibles. What do you make of that?
Right.
So, it depends on how you look at it.
So the question is right now is, where are we from a standpoint of, let's just look at America. Let's not look at things on a worldwide basis. I mean, Church of England has seen rapid declines too. I mean, so it's not just an American issue. This is an issue that is, and yet at the same time, you can say, well, look at the growth of the church in Asia or in Africa where it has taken off. Why is it that it's not the same everywhere, Doctor?
Well, I think people are affected by the fact that they're, especially here in the United States, affected by the fact that there are dozens of different religions and they all teach different things. And it used to be the case, that you could look at your religious leader and you would say, well, he has the voice of God on his side, But now we see that there's a lot of religious leaders. We have TV shows, that feature religious services and that sort of thing. And we all have the option of watching different shows. So people wonder, well, which religious leader has the voice of God? And probably, maybe none of them do. So I think that may be responsible in part for the loss of luster.
The subtitle of your book is A Genealogy of Religious Belief. So if that's the case, the assumption would be that we're going to go back to sort of the beginning of this. Where is the beginning of religious belief? I mean, is it coming from, are you looking at this only from a Christian perspective, or are you looking at this from a world religion perspective?
Well, I'm looking at it from a Western religion perspective.
Okay.
And in the book traces religion back 12,000 years to the Neolithic period. It traces it back to the work of shamans, who persuaded their followers that they communicate with the gods. And it goes from there through Egyptian religion. And Judaism, of course, was grounded in Egyptian religion. Moses was very likely an Egyptian priest. Christianity came out of Judaism, and Islam came out of Judaism together with Christianity. So all these religions have a history, and they are what they are depending upon the historical roots, and I think that's absolutely the case.
Is that the reason why the issues in the Middle East seem to be so contentious? Is that, you know, you are talking about, I mean, you can very easily make the argument that out of Abraham came Islam and also came Christianity. And so it's in the same part of the world. Moses was in that same part of the world, went to Egypt, then took his people out and went to the Promised Land. I mean, it all stems from that cradle there in the Middle East. Is that the crux of the issue? Why they have such a hard time compromising and getting along?
Oh, I think religion plays a huge role. I mean, look at Judaism. The area that the nation of Israel occupies was given to the Jews by God, and not everybody thinks that, but the conservative Orthodox Jews certainly believe that. Mm-hmm. So that's behind, you know, the idea that we've got to hang on to this religion. I mean, hang on to this land.
Right.
On the other hand, on the side of Islam, the Islamics believe that God was responsible for giving them the land. You know, jihad. The whole idea behind jihad is that we're following the commands of God. And so, if God gave the Israelis their land, and if God gave the followers of Islam their land, and if it's the same land, you're going to have a conflict. There's no way around it. It's unavoidable.
We're visiting with Dr. Patrick Hurley, who is an author, is a professor, taught 35 years at the University of San Diego, and has done extensive research on Christian theology. So he's also written a book called A Concise Intro to Logic. Our country, I mean, you will see things, whether it be on our currency, In God We Trust, right? Whether you take a look at documents in our nation's past, where that was very much a part of our founding fathers' decision making. And yet it seems that perhaps government has pulled back from that. It's impossible to answer that question if I simply say why, but can you give us an idea why that has happened?
Well, there are organizations like these free thought radio people and the people that insist on government, you know, being obeying the First Amendment of the Constitution and not following the dictates of any religion. They've been very active. They've exerted a lot of pressure on government, even though government leaders, and a lot of them are very religious. Still, I think the influence of these people, you know, has been effective. And I think that's in part responsible for pulling back people from religious views. There's been take down your creches at Christmas time, mm-hmm. take down the Ten Commandments from public property, that sort of thing. It's largely a result of these influence groups, I think, that insist that these teachings of religion being, or the view of it being removed. So
I'll save the easiest question for last. If we have seen these changes, and there's no argument among us that we have seen these changes and declines in terms of attendance, why is it that people continue to go back for these high holy days, that we see them at Easter, that we see them at Christmas? Why so? If it's not that important to go 50 other weeks out of the year, why these two?
Well, maybe they're trying to hang on. Maybe they have a fear, you know, that hellfire awaits them if they totally...
Fire and brimstone, right?
Fire and brimstone, that's exactly it. In the back of their minds, they still think that's the case. Maybe.
Yeah.
But religion is part of our culture, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So they want to maintain that contact, you know? We have the names of cities, you know, follow Christian and Hispanic names, and all sorts of other things in our culture, you know, follow religion. So for a lot of people, just for the sake of maintaining contact with culture, you know, they attend church on these 2 days. So that is part of it, certainly.
Interesting. Doctor, thank you very, very much for being here and having a conversation that ranged from theology to philosophy and probably a little bit of everything in between. I really enjoyed you being here. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. Dr. Patrick Hurley, PhD, also JD, member of the Bar Association in California, joining us, talking about religion, power, and illusion, which is the title of his brand new book. If you want to know more about him, he's got a website, and it's Patrick Hurley, HURLEY, author.com. Patrick Hurley, author.com.